Appreciate that very much. And none of us would be here were not for the old rugged cross. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians this morning, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and while you're turning there, I'll just say it's just a joy for my wife and I to be here, my wife Donna, and we appreciate your pastor and offering us just the opportunity to spend some time with the dear folks here. And I'll tell you, I feel at home here. This is just, you're my kind of folk, you know, and just down home folk, you know. So for those of you visiting this morning, welcome, glad that you're here, but please come back when the pastor's here, okay? I don't know if there's a baby due, I guess, and I don't know if his return is pending on the baby's birth or what, but anyway, but he'll be back. And so we are just delighted to be here with you this morning. Didn't AJ do a great job this morning?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that young man being a song leader and being a lot of other things too. So he did a good job. And brother Brandon in here, he's probably with children. Oh, there, it's, where is he? He's in children's church. Okay. He did, I got some help this morning in a Sunday school hour.
Amen.
That was good. About our Bible, the King James Bible, and there is so much that, and it has given me a hunger to do some more study on King James himself. I really enjoyed that. So if you missed that, I don't know if it got recorded or not, but if you missed it, it's recorded. Get a copy of that so you can get some help there too, all right? But anyway, it's a joy to be here today. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. And if you would, just for a moment, if you're able to, would you stand with me? And just we'll have the reading of the Word of God. And then we'll have prayer, and then you can be seated as well. So I'm going to begin with verse number 13 of chapter 3, Ephesians. What a precious book, the book of Ephesians. But verse 13, we'll start and read down through verse 21, the end of that chapter. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. This is the Apostle Paul writing the church at Ephesus. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to share this day with the good folks here at Moore Baptist Temple. I pray that, God, you would help us, that you'd give me clarity of thought, liberty of speech, that, Lord, I'd say those things which you would be pleased for me to say. And I pray, God, that thy Holy Spirit would take your word and that you would speak to every heart here this morning. I do not know the needs. There's some sweet people here, Lord, but I don't know them. But you know everything about all of us. And you know exactly what you want to accomplish in our lives today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would take your word and empower it and use it, dear God, and speak to our hearts and accomplish in and through us, Lord, what you so desire. For somebody here maybe not saved, Lord, that would be their greatest need. I pray you'd speak to their hearts about that. And Lord, for the Christian, that you'd encourage and challenge them in some way today. And we'll thank you for all these things, for we ask it all in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. The Apostle Paul reminds us, and I want to begin by glancing just at a few verses and not nearly focusing on them, but just to bring out something In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?" Now, I want you to notice that word power. "Of his power to usward which who believe according to the working of his mighty power." Again. And then over in chapter 3 and verse number 7, it says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." And we find in what we read just a moment ago in verse number 16, says that he grants you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, which is the same Greek word dunamis, which means power. And then we think of chapter 6 and verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." But our focus is going to be on one particular verse. So we could spend a whole month of Sundays just preaching on this one passage. But I want to just focus on one particular verse this morning, and that's verse number 20. And it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." We need that power. We need that power working in each of our hearts and lives, in and through each of us. Paul, this is basically a prayer. Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, for the believers in that church, and asking these things of God for them. And we, I think, understand the need for God's power. We need God's help. Without him, we can do what? Nothing. We need God. And life circumstances sometimes reminds us how much we need God. Amen? But we ought to cause ourselves to continually look towards him and express our heart's desire and our need. God, help me. God, help me. We all need God's help. But I want to just take and mention three basic thoughts about the power that God has. Number one is the source of that power. That verse we just read, "Now unto him." Him. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it? In the beginning, God. That word God there in the first verse of the Bible is in plural form. Now, plural, as you know, is more than one. Plural, in this case, is three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the God of the universe, the Creator of the world, of the universe. In the beginning, God created. Isn't that an amazing thought? That he just created everything. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the everlasting one, the Almighty, the all-wise God, the all-knowing God, the very giver of life. That's our God. I've often, and you probably can relate to this, the Psalm 8 verses 3 and 4 says, and says, David said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." You see, God spoke all that into existence. He said, David, he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" You know what we are? In this vast universe, we're not even a tiny speck in size. And when David looked out, have you ever gone out at night sometimes? You have to get away from the city. You got to get out in the country somewhere where there's no lights. And you look up into the heavens and you see the thousands, you can't count them, billions, whatever, stars. You ever stop thinking, just, what's past that star? If you went just kept on going and you come, you don't come to the end. But if you came to the end, what would be after, beyond the end? It's infinite. You can't grasp that. I can't grasp that. But that's God. And He created all that. It just kind of overwhelms you, doesn't it? In Genesis 1 and verse number 3, He said, let there be light. For the first time, light came into His creation. We take a lot for, we got lights here. Praise the Lord. We're not having to have service by candlelight right now. You know, it's good. But light. You ever just thought about light itself? That God created the sun, but just light. He said, let there be light. I did some reading about light. I don't know how they do this, but they've determined that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. I don't know who measured it. How you measure it? You got a stopwatch and it. Somebody beyond me. But that's pretty fast. But listen to this. For light to come from the sun to the earth at 186 miles per second would take 8.3 minutes. That's a long ways away, you know, and our sun is the closest thing to us. But take this, from the sun to the nearest star from the sun, at the speed of light, it would take 4.2 years to get there. That's a long ways. Let's go further. From the sun to the nearest galaxy. I don't know how they determine these things anyway. It would only take, at 186 miles per second, it would only take 70,000 years. The Milky Way. It's up there somewhere. I've seen it, you know. It's interesting. I just looked at it from my naked eye, but the Milky Way, just to go from one end of the Milky Way to the other end of the Milky Way by the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would only take 87,400 years. A little more in our lifetime. The Andromeda, I don't know what the Andromeda galaxy is, but it's out there. But for light to get from the Andromeda galaxy to the Earth at 186,000 miles per second would only take 2.5 million years. Do you kind of get a sense of God's greatness and God's power? He's the creator. He is the source of all power. He's the Almighty One. There's nothing He cannot do. We're pretty small, aren't we? We think we can do a lot of things, but honestly, we're pretty powerless in and of ourselves. But He is the source of all power. Number two. By the way, that's our God. Number two, the sufficiency of power. Our verse again. Unto Him, if you don't get anything else, get this. Unto Him that is able. I like that word, able. Unto Him that is able. He's able. Sometimes, well, I can't do that, but He can. But I can do all things through Christ, which He can do it. He can help us. He's able. He's the sufficiency of that power we talk about. Jeremiah said it this way, "Oh, Lord God, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Sometimes we limit God, don't we? Well, yeah, but God couldn't do that. God can do anything. The song, He healed the brokenhearted and He set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able, He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Why? He's able. Remember the conversation the Lord had with His disciples about the rich man getting into heaven, how hard it is, how impossible it is. And they said, well, then who can be saved? The disciples said. And God said, but with God, all things are possible. Children's song, my God is so big, so great and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. God is able. Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord's on the mount with Peter, James, and John, and you know all that story there. And down below, the other disciples were waiting, and here comes a father with his demon-possessed son. And he's looking for the Lord, but the Lord's up on the mountain. The disciples down below said, hey, we can help. We can do it. Hey, we've healed. We've raised the dead. We've done all these things before. We can do that. And yet they didn't. Finally, the Lord came down. He did. He cast out the demon. And then the disciples asked the Lord, why couldn't we do it? And what was His answer? Because of your unbelief. He didn't have the faith. You know, God's able, right? I want to make a statement here. I want you to let this sink into your mind again. Because this is really where we're at. God is able, but not always is God allowed. God is able, But not always is God allowed. Do you get that? We don't allow God. We don't believe God. We don't trust God sometimes. Hey, isn't that where we are? You know, I wish we had perfect faith, amen. We're still growing. But if you don't take anything home today, I want you to take that home. God is able, but not always is God allowed. The Lord gave the illustration there too, but he said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move hence, and it'd move. That sounds like the impossible thing, doesn't it? I'm going to tell you a story, a true story. Back east somewhere, church, I don't remember exactly where it was. And the church was a little country church, just kind of out at the edge of town, small, didn't have a lot of land. And they had a number of people, but they needed a bigger parking lot, but they didn't have the room for it. There was the church building, then there's a little parking lot, and there was kind of like a big hill. It wasn't a mountain, but it's a big hill, higher than the building itself, probably. And it was just boxed in, didn't have any place to grow. And one day somebody came knocking on the church door and looking for the pastor and introduced himself. And he said, I'm a contractor. And he said, we're building a big a shopping complex in town, quite a big project. And said, the truth is, he said, we need some dirt. Would you be willing to let us have the dirt that your mountain has, or rather right by the church? Let us take that dirt, haul it all off, and we'll build you and pave you a parking lot. God can still move mountains. May not be in the same way we think of it, but God can do it. So we have the source of that power. We have the sufficiency of that power. The sad thing about, to me, and I think we fit in that category sometimes, but Israel, it's said of Israel, the nation of Israel, that they limited the Holy One of Israel. The people of God limited God. He said, well, God can do anything. Yeah, but we don't allow him sometimes. We don't let him. Our text again, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Isn't that interesting? He's able to do exceeding abundantly, above. What? How do you describe that? It's more than. It's exceeding. It's overflowing. It's way beyond. However you want to. It's a hard thing, but you can see that there's really, God's not limited. If you've been saved for a while, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40. I just celebrated week before last, my 50th spiritual birthday. Amen. April 20th, 1973. Had you told me when I got saved back that far, 50 years ago, I know some of you don't even think I'm 50 years old, I'm sorry, but If you'd have told me back then that God was going to do what I have seen him do in my life, I'd look at you and I'd say, you are nuts. You're crazy. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. But now I have the ability to look back 50 years and say, wow, a lot more than I thought. I had no idea. Now, has it all been a bed of roses? Oh, no. Not at all. It's been some really hard things. My wife and I have both lost our first spouses to death. My first wife died of cancer in 1999 after almost a 4-year battle. I still had 2 kids at home. One had already graduated. Don't make any sense, you know? How do you put that all together? But I trusted the Lord. And Donna, her first husband, passed away of heart failure in 2002. And God, and that we have a story, we often tell it in different places, but we call it our incredible journey. And it's still going. But we married in 2003, so August 1st of this year, we'll celebrate 20 years together. So, but I said that just to say, God is great. And he'll do far more than you ever thought possible. It's a surprise Sunday, okay? I'm going to tell you from me. It is a surprise for me to be here in front of you today, and I'll tell you why. I was an extreme, and this is true, an extreme introvert growing up. I don't belabor the whole story. My wife will just, she said, no, don't go there. But in high school, I hated English. And I found out that I could take speech class instead of English. So I signed up for speech. So I went to the speech class first day. And the teacher got up and he said, okay, your first assignment is it. You're going to give a speech. And I looked at him and I said, what? I got to give a speech? And it was on you had to demonstrate something. It was a demonstration speech. So I'll try this, you know. And I would sit on the back row. So it's my turn. I got up and I had a brown, some of you older folks understand, a Brownie Kodak camera, okay. The younger, you don't know what a camera is. And I demonstrated how to load it, how to put the flash bulb in. I literally took a picture. I've been looking for it for years. Been married 20 years and I haven't found that picture yet. I was going to show my wife and prove to her I was in speech class. But I took that picture. I finished, and man, he's knocking and my voice was quivering, and when I'm done, I'm done. I went back and I sat down in the back row, and when class was over, I went back to the secretary's office. I said, I'm going back to the English class. And I walked out of that speech class and never went back. And I said, I'll never give another speech as long as I live. And God called me to preach. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. So it's a surprise to me that I'm up here, because this is not me, but it is God. And don't say, well, I could never. Don't limit God. Don't live him. If he parted the Red Sea for Moses, he moved the sun backwards for Hezekiah. If he sent fire from heaven for Elijah. Or just delivered Peter from prison. If that's true, and it is, don't you think he's big enough to take care of you? He's big enough to fight my battles, big enough to calm my fears, big enough to solve my problems, big enough to dry my tears. He's big enough to pick me up when I stumble and fall, and when I come to the banks of the chilly Jordan River, he'll be big enough to carry me across. What am I saying? I'm saying God's big enough for you, for your problems, for your needs. Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's our life verse together. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Ask him. So we have the source, we have the sufficiency, and we have the spirit of power. Our text. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That Holy Spirit of God who indwells us, who has sealed us with eternal life, indwells every believer in this room. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, if you're not saved this morning, he doesn't live there. But he wants to. He has the power to save. He'll save anyone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was raised in a Baptist church. At 12 years of age, I got baptized. My dad said he took me to the pastor and because he was concerned about me. We had a revival at that time, and apparently the pastor talked to me about being saved, and he said, I got saved. I don't remember it. And I went a number of years until I was in the military, and then I got out of the military. And when I was 23, a teenage girl, name of Brenda, she's in heaven today, and she looked at me. It was part of a family thing, and so we're at her parents' house in California, Woodland, California, and she said to me, and she said, Wes, do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? You know, I had to be honest with her. And I said, no. And for the first time, somebody just took the scripture and explained to me how I could be saved by understanding that I was a sinner. I was guilty before God, having sinned and broken his law. And I was deserving of that penalty of death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, or to be cast into hellfire. But that's why Jesus came. God sent his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And as she shared those scriptures with me, God was working in my heart. And she asked me, would you put your faith in Jesus and call upon him to be your Savior? Now, won't you hear me out? I was a hardened young man. Did things I'm not proud of. But I was so hardened. I want to live my life. And with tears flowing down my cheeks, I said no. Wish I hadn't said no, but I said no. I'll never forget that night. I'll be eternally grateful to her for her care about me. But for 4 or 5 months, unbeknownst to me, she had Christian brothers and sisters in Christ praying for me. Amen. I ended up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I can't go into all the story. But God was working me over for a while. And something happened that could have ended my life. And it caused me to think. And I thought, boy, if I'd have died, I'd have gone to hell. And I decided that night, it's time. And I called out to God. All by myself in my bedroom. I had a dog whose name was Cordy. I called him Cordy because he wasn't coordinated. Yeah. Dog was right there beside me. I remember just like it was last night. I called upon the Lord. I said, Lord, save me. My life's never been the same since. He has the power to save. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, he has the power. But you don't know me, Brother Stewart. You don't know what I've done. No, it doesn't matter. I know what he's done. He died for you. He loves you. Gave his life for you. Shed his blood for you. So that you could go to heaven and be with him someday. He has the power to save. He has the power to keep. He has the power to change. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. I didn't even know that verse. As a matter of fact, if you'd asked me when I got saved, quote a Bible verse, and one Bible verse I could have ever quoted. One. And you're going to be surprised what it is. I went to Bible camp one time when I was a junior. And I made a leather shield kind of thing, and I stamped on it a Bible verse. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Still got that somewhere. Other than that, I couldn't have quoted John 3:16. I didn't know it. But God changed me. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I had some old things that needed to be passed away. But it's a process. The Bible word is sanctification. Sanctify means to be set apart, but more than that, to be set apart unto God. And that's a process, isn't it? That's a growing process. Well, I'd like to be get saved and we're perfect. Don't do anything bad anymore. Don't say old bad words. All that. There's a growing process. But there is a change that takes place instantaneously. You're a different creature. You're a new creature in Christ. Why? Because you're born again. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in the Bible there in John chapter 3. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus, about 85 years old, he did not, how can an old man like me be put back in his mother's womb and be born again? He said, no, born in the flesh, but you need to be born in the Spirit. And that's what it means to be born again, is to be born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes to dwell you, to live in you. God, the Spirit, has the power to convict, to draw, to save, and to help. He's there to help us. The power He gives us to serve Him. Working in and through you. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're supposed to be doing good, serving the Lord. That same power, many of us to testify to that this morning, that power that turned unbelief into belief, that turned enemies into sons, that turned hate into love, to turn trash into treasure, to turn darkness into light. See, that's what God's Spirit does. That's what God's power does. He changes people. It's a miracle for me to stand here today, because this is not me. This is God. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You and I are to be becoming more like Jesus every day. Now, we'll never be like Him, although one day we will have a glorified body like His. But we'll never be God. So you have the source of power, sufficiency of power, and the Spirit of God's power. He's able. Let's just settle that question right there. He is able. Whatever the question might be in your mind or in your heart, He's able. Don't doubt His ability. Don't doubt His power, for He is able. Two questions. Number one, what is it you need God to do for you? Let's get personal. What is it you need God to do for you? Are you saved this morning? It might be somebody, I don't know you. This is my first time to be here. If you're a visitor, other than this couple said that they were visiting, I think. But other than that, might be other visitors here. I don't know you. So I'm not picking at anybody, but I'm saying, are you sure that you're on your way to heaven? Has that time come where you say, I know that I believed on Christ and I was born again. I have eternal life. I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord someday. Maybe you might have to say. Somebody might be sitting here and say, I can't say that. I don't know. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I encourage you this morning. During this invitation, just a short while, come. We'll take the Word of God. We'll help you to understand what we're talking about there. This is a place. This church cares for you, whoever you might be, and is concerned about your eternal destiny. That's why we're here. What is it you need God to do for you? Is there a mountain? Maybe not a literal mountain, but is there a mountain you would call in your life? Well, that's an impossible. God can do that. Do you need to ask Him? God, I need you to do something for me. I need you to help me. Is there a need? Maybe you're out of a job. God can help you find a job. The financial problems, health problems, family problems. It doesn't matter what it is. He's able. Not always is He allowed. Will you call upon Him? Will you trust Him? Second question. What is it that you need to do for God? Do you need to seek Him? He's the source of power. Do you need to surrender to Him? You know, we still live in this old flesh, don't we? And it's a struggle. You know, the spirit against the flesh, contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, the Bible says. Now, this story about someone talking to an Indian, and the old Indian said, yeah, inside me, two dogs, always fight. Got black dog, white dog, always fighting at each other. Somebody said, which one wins? He said, the one I feed the most. Yeah. That's where we are. Because we still live in this old sinful flesh. And that flesh fights against the Spirit of God within us. What do you need to do for God? He's the source of power. He's the sufficiency of power. You need to just surrender and give God. Maybe, I don't know, might be some young men here. God's really dealing in your heart about calling to preach. Remember that time in my life. I don't know. But you just need to surrender. As the Lord, and you had Brother Chadwick been here several times, I think, preach for you. Y'all know who Brother Chadwick is. Brother Chadwick, my pastor in 1974, God dealt in my heart, and I surrendered to whatever God wanted under His ministry. But boy, it was hard for me to surrender to preach because that meant I had to get in front of people again. And so that was a struggle, but I did. And I'm glad I did. There's something you need to surrender to. This would be a great day to do that. Serve Him. He's the Spirit of power. Serve Him. Is there a step of faith that you need to take today? Is God speaking to you? Is there something that God has been tugging at your heart about? I have no idea what it might be, but I'm just saying. Is there something that God's saying to you, you need to, and you fill in the blank? Maybe get saved. I need to get saved. It may be, you know, again, I don't know who's members here and who's not, but it may be, I need to get baptized. I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. or I need to join a church, this would be a good church to join. But see, all of those things would be a step of faith, wouldn't it? Is there a step of faith? Something that God said, this is what I want you to do. You need to take the step of faith and say, okay, I'll do it. You see, some of those steps of faith are harder to take than others. But if you'll take it, you'll not regret it. Get involved. There's ministries here. The outreach into the community. Teaching in children's church and children's classes. Okay, there's always something for you to do. Take that step of faith. He is able. But not always is he allowed. See, you and I make the difference, don't we? It's our faith. It's our faith. He has the power. He's the source of all power. His power is sufficient. Will you just take that simple step of faith and say yes to whatever it is that you need to say yes to God about today? Let's bow our heads in prayer.